Vacation with his mother-in-law, and he actually went on vacation to Israel with his mother-in-law. And during the time that they were in the Holy Land, his mother-in-law unexpectedly passed away. The following day, the husband met with the local undertaker to discuss funeral plans, and the undertaker said, in cases like these, there's a couple of options that you can choose from. He said, you can ship the body home for $5,000, or you can bury it here in the Holy Land for $150. The man took a moment and he thought about it and announced his decision that he was going to ship the body home. And the undertaker was intrigued by this decision. And he said, that's an interesting choice. Can I ask why you would pay $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when you could bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. And the man promptly replied, well, about 2,000 years ago, a man died and was buried here, and 3 days later he arose, and I can't take that chance. Now, I don't know if that's a true story or not. I hope it is, but it's certainly a funny one. But the last part of that story is absolutely true. 3 days later, he arose again. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're here every Sunday. Not just on Resurrection Easter Sunday, but every Sunday, because he arose. Jesus' resurrection is our victory and our security and our hope. There's a hymn from the 1940s that's been running through my mind throughout this series of messages that we've been doing. You know, we've been preaching a series from death to life and walking up to this day. And sadly, this hymn is not in our hymnal, but I went back and got the words. I wish you'd listen to them. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. No merit of my own his anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. I love this. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive. And the chorus goes, for me he died. For me he lives. And everlasting life and light he freely gives. For me, for me, for me. That's a phrase I've asked you to hold on to throughout this series as we've marched our way to today, to Easter Sunday. To hold on to that phrase, for me, as you read about the suffering of the Lord Jesus, as you read about the death of the Lord Jesus, to say to yourself, for me, for me, for me. And all of us can say that. Jesus Christ did this for me. Now, we spent a couple of weeks, beloved, dealing with some sad scripture, looking at the suffering of the Lord Jesus, looking at the death of the Lord Jesus. We spent time in mourning and suffering, but today we come to a day of celebration. And we celebrate with joy the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been in Matthew 27 the last couple of weeks, and today we're going to finish up this series in Matthew 28. So if you'll find Matthew 28 and your copy of the Bible. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a great challenge today because some of you are beginning to grow tired. There are those who've been here since maybe 4:30 this morning, and you've had a full breakfast, and you've had bacon and eggs and biscuits, and then you've sat, and it was kind of warm in Sunday school, and you've been kind of relaxing. Then we woke you up a little bit during the singing, and now... now you're drifting off. So I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you, since you've been seated for so long, I'm going to ask you if you'd stand. If you can, would you stand for the reading of God's Word today? Yeah, just stretch if you want to. Let out a hallelujah to the Lord. Yeah. Let's read this. We're celebrating today. We're not mourning. We're celebrating with joy. Matthew 28, I want to read the Scripture to you. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Can you imagine? And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. By the way, those feet still bear the marks. And they grabbed on and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. There's a lot going on here in Matthew chapter 28. You have the earth quaking, the guards shaking, and the women awakening to the fact that Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave, that Jesus Christ is alive. And in our brief time together this morning, I want to lay with you, I want to lay at your feet and plant in your mind three foundational truths that you need to hold on to as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three foundational truths. The first one is this: the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. These precious ladies, they came early that Sunday morning. The Bible tells us with spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus. What they did not realize was that the tomb was empty. They were met with an empty tomb and an angelic, powerful angel that tells them the news that Jesus is not here. Come see for yourself. And this marks a drastic difference between Christianity and the other religions, the other major religions in our world. You can visit the graves of these religious leaders, and those graves are not empty. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy is buried in Massachusetts. Ellen G. White is buried in Michigan. Charles Russell's buried in Pittsburgh. And Joseph Smith is buried in Illinois. That takes care of Christian Science, which is not so Christian, mind you, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons. They tell me the Green Dome houses the grave of Muhammad, Confucius is in China, and Buddha was cremated. But the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ is open and empty because Jesus Christ is not there. He didn't need the grave anymore. It was a borrowed tomb. And the tomb is empty. Why? Because Jesus Christ is alive. And that brings us to that second foundational truth. And it's this, beloved, the Savior is alive. Now, some of you are thinking, now, wait a minute. That seems a little bit redundant. You just said the tomb is empty. Aren't you saying the same thing when you're saying the Savior is alive? Well, it's one thing to have an empty grave. You can have an empty grave for all sorts of reasons, I guess. You could go and remove bodies from graves. You can have an empty grave for other reasons besides a resurrection. In fact, did you notice what the chief priests and the elders did here when they realized that Jesus Christ rose again? Even though Jesus Christ was alive, these religious leaders did not care. They didn't care. They wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. So when the soldiers came and told that these religious leaders that, you know, an angel came and Jesus was alive and that sort of thing, these religious leaders said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell the people that you fell asleep. And while you fell asleep, Jesus' disciples came and they stole the body. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. This morning, if you were here for the sunrise service, we talked about the swoon theory, about how some people believe that Jesus wasn't really dead and he just was laid in the tomb. He was kind of in a coma-like state, and then he revived from the coolness of the tomb, and in his terrible state, he rolled the stone away and defeated the guards, I guess, and went on his merry way. And we talked about how ridiculous that is. But then we come to this whole thing here about the disciples stealing the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a lot of flaws with this. First of all, how did all the soldiers fall asleep at the same time? I mean, there was a group of soldiers there. Remember, they'd sealed the tomb and they set a guard and they made sure it was secure. And yet, they're supposed to tell everybody, well, we all fell asleep. Everybody fell asleep. Furthermore, how, if they're all sleeping, if all these guards are sleeping, how did Jesus' disciples sneak past them and roll that stone away without waking any of them? I mean, surely with all the commotion it would take, somebody would wake up and say, hey, you know, what are you doing? Furthermore, if they were sleeping, how did the soldiers know it was the disciples that came and stole the body of the Lord Jesus? I don't know about you, but when I'm sleeping, I don't know a whole lot about what's going on around me. You can come and go if you come and go. I won't know if you were there or not there unless you leave me a note. You reckon the disciples left a note? Hey, sorry, you guys were sleeping. We didn't want to wake you up. Just want to let you know we've got the body of Jesus. Ridiculous. Furthermore, we know from other passages the grave clothes were still behind. Now, if the disciples of the Lord Jesus came and they stole the dead body of the Lord Jesus, why would they take the time to unwrap the dead body, leave the grave clothes behind, and then sneak out with him? Do you see how ridiculous of a story this really is? And then you continue going and you read the scriptures and we know that Jesus appeared to many after his resurrection. In fact, we read it this morning at the sunrise service. He appeared to 500 at once, 1 Corinthians 15:6. I found this in one of my study Bibles. This was amazing. One writer has noted that if you brought all of the witnesses into a courtroom that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection, if you brought all the witnesses into a courtroom and you gave each one of them 6 minutes to testify, do you think everybody that we know that Jesus appeared to in the scriptures after he was resurrected, you give them all 6 minutes to testify, you would still have over 50 hours of testimony concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying he is alive. You see, the grave is empty, the tomb is empty, because the Savior is alive. What do we do with that? Well, like the women in verse 9 and the disciples in verse 17, we should fall in worship to the risen Savior. worship Him. He is worthy. But we should do more. Which brings us to our third. Remember, I'm giving you three foundational truths that you need. Number one, the tomb is empty. Number two, the Savior is alive. And now, number three, foundational truth, the mission is clear. The mission is clear. This brings us to what we call the Great Commission. You notice in the end of this chapter, the Lord Jesus addressing His disciples. I want to read it this time. I'll read it from the NLT just so you hear it slightly differently. In verse 18, it says, Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all authority everywhere. Therefore, go and make disciples. Make disciples of whom? Of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we're to worship the Lord Jesus, but we're also to go and make disciples of all nations, of all peoples. What is a disciple? Well, I think one of the simplest definitions of a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Go and make followers, learners, students, followers of Jesus Christ. So the question is, how do we make disciples? Well, He tells us here. We know that we have to depend upon the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus as we tell people the gospel. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so we go not in our power, but in His power. And then it says that we're to tell them the good news, right? We're to go and make disciples. They have to understand the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And as these people respond in faith, as they repent of their sins and respond in faith, it says here that we are to baptize them. I like to remind the congregation from time to time, and especially those who come for baptismal counsel, that this is not something we came up with. This is not a Baptist thing. It's not a denomination thing. It's not just certain people. The Lord Jesus told us to do this. And He told us how to do it. He says to baptize, we're to immerse someone in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself modeled this for us as He was baptized of John the Baptist. And as we're baptized, we're literally showing the gospel. As we're going back, we're showing the death of Christ. As we go under the water, we're showing the burial of Christ. As the person's poured up out of the water, we're showing the resurrection of Christ. We're showing the gospel. We're showing that person's identification with Christ. That is, they're a new person in Christ, a new creature in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. There's a public testimony to everybody who sees them be baptized. It's the first step of obedience. It's not a part of salvation, but it's the first step of obedience after salvation. And it's for believers after a person has trusted Christ. He says, go and make disciples. Here's how you do it. And when they respond in faith, I want you to baptize them. And then that's not the end. Did you notice that? See, making a disciple is making a follower, a learner, a student of the Lord Jesus. That's why He says next that I want you to teach them. And notice what He says. He says there to teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. And so we're to teach them to obey the Lord Jesus. We're to teach them to obey God's Word. And we disciple them. We help them understand how to live, how to conduct their lives, what to believe, what not to believe. And we teach them. We teach them to live for the Lord Jesus. And then as we're doing all of this, because I can just tell you, sometimes it can grow very discouraging as you're seeking to make disciples. The Lord Jesus gives us a wonderful promise. Did you notice it? He says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. There's never going to be a time where Jesus is going to leave us or forsake us or give up on us. He's with us. His presence encourages us and helps us. And He will never, ever leave us. And beloved, this is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we celebrate the resurrection. because Jesus is alive. Wally Rendell was the pastor of a church called Southern Acres Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And he shared the following story. Our daughter, Jill Marie Rendell, was a senior at Cincinnati Bible College and Seminary. In fact, she was preparing for a children's ministry position in a local church. She was studying to be a children's ministry leader. In February of 1993, she was traveling with the girls' basketball team. They were headed for Battle Creek, Michigan, in a tournament. You know, a lot of basketball tournaments going on right now. And on their way, on an icy road, the driver lost control. The school van that she was riding on spun out of control and overturned several times, and Jill was thrown out of the van and she was crushed to death. Only 4 days earlier, on the college campus, she had been crowned homecoming queen. As word spread of her death, someone remarked, "The queen has gone to meet the king." And indeed, she had. Because she knew the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. In fact, interesting enough, there's a poem that Jill wrote when she was in middle school. So she died in college, but listen to what she wrote in middle school. "Easter is the time of year when people come from far and near, in every part and all directions, to celebrate Christ's resurrection. Resurrection is the name of the deed that gained the fame. When Christ the King was crucified, then 3 days later made alive." You see, Jill's hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though her young life here came to an end, when she opened her eyes after death, she was in the presence of her Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All of us can say, "For me, He died. For me, He lives. And everlasting life and light He freely gives." But here's the thing. You have to receive it. You have to accept it. He's paid the price. He shed His precious blood. He bore the penalty upon the cross for you. He suffered for you. He died for you. He arose for you. But you have to receive Him. Do you know Him today? Have you received Him as your Savior? And if you have, are you like these ladies? Are you like these disciples falling at His feet in worship? And then are you obedient to what He's told us to do, to go and make disciples of all nations, making followers of me? Would you bow in prayer with me? Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. On this Easter Sunday, you have heard the gospel and song. You've heard it from the Word. You've heard it over and over again. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? If not, I want to invite you right now, right where you are, to turn from your sin and place your faith in Jesus Christ. You can pray a simple prayer right where you're seated. And just tell Him you recognize that you have sinned. And you realize there's nothing you can do to save yourself. But you believe that Jesus Christ died in your place, was buried, and rose again for you. You don't want your sin anymore. You want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If you'll just talk to the Lord like that, and you pray from your heart, the Bible says if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. There's no magical formula I can give you. Just lift your heart to the Lord and just ask Him to save you, and He will. He will. I hope that you're doing that if you need to. I hope that you're calling out to Him. Christian, let me speak to you for a moment. Are you worshiping Him? Is that a daily reality for you? Has the resurrection truth really gripped you? Are you seeking to make disciples? Are you sharing the gospel with those that you come in contact with? That's why we're here, to bring glory to God and to bring others to God. Maybe someone's in your heart this morning, and we're going to pray. We're not going to tarry, but maybe somebody's in your heart today that you need to speak to about the gospel. Or maybe there's somebody you've been praying for and you've been talking with them about the gospel. I want to encourage you to continue doing that. If you haven't, I want to encourage you to do it. If you've been doing it, I want to encourage you to keep doing it. Why don't you take just a moment this morning and just pray for that person by name and ask God to give you wisdom as you talk with them, and ask God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel and pray for their soul, that they would place their faith in Christ. Pray for them by name right now, would you? Pray for them by name. Father, it has been a wonderful, wonderful day with our brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, that if someone here has received Christ, that you would encourage them to share that with their family, their friends, with Pastor Larry, with me, with their Sunday school class, with somebody right away, right after the service. Give them courage. We might encourage them and help them to grow. Father, I pray for believers. I believe that there were some names called out to you this morning of folks who need the Lord Jesus. I agree with these precious people in prayer and ask that you would save these precious people. Give wisdom to my brothers and sisters as they go out sharing the gospel. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in you, to go forth in joy today, realizing that Jesus is alive and He's coming again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, and if you did pray to receive Christ, we'd love to rejoice with you and help you. You can come down during the song and tell Pastor Larry you prayed to receive Christ. If you still have questions about it, we'd love to talk with you about it. If you need to come pray about something else, the altar's always open. It's here for you. But I thought we'd close out with a hymn that I think most people love to sing on Easter Sunday. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lived. The altar's open. You come. Let's stand up and sing 449, Because He Lives.
Because He lives, I can face.